welcome to Making Love with Danny and Ryan, where we go deep.
Balls deep.
Into sex, love, relationships.
And everything in between.
The sheets.
Between the sheets. Hello, welcome to Making Love with Danny and Ryan. On this episode, we're talking about the best ways for couples to handle being cooped up together for extended periods of time and being stuck apart from your partner during this unprecedented and bizarre time of quarantine and social distancing. We're going to get into some of the challenges that you and your partner may be facing and how couples can really make the most out of the situation that they find themselves in. Maybe even come out the other side stronger than when they went into it. My lovely co-host Danny and I are currently practicing social distancing, so we're recording this episode separately, and we're going to see how this goes.
Makes for an interesting experience recording this way. It's definitely pushed us to get creative. I have two additional co-hosts with me this week, Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Just kidding. They're my little Yorkie dogs. So if you hear any like jingling or barking or anything, that's just my kids chiming in.
So, at any moment, they could participate as well.
Super unpredictable. A little disrespectful, but we're gonna roll with it. How about you, Ryan? How's that? How is it on the home front for you?
I think things are going really well. I'm very fortunate here under the conditions that I find myself. I have a great quarantine mate, my lovely Joanne and her 11-year-old daughter. So we're social distancing from everyone else, and we've really been making the most of it. And we're going to talk about some of the things that we've been doing to pass the time and some of the things that we've been doing to stay sane under these crazy conditions. And otherwise, I think life is good. It's interesting because I think perspective plays a huge role into this particular situation and the circumstance we all find ourselves in. And sure. I think we can apply some emotional intelligence and perspective, and we can look at it a few different ways. I just want to caution everybody that we can look at it in a way that's gloom and doom and horrible, and we can fight it and we can resist it, or we can really surrender and accept the fact that these are the conditions and it's going to be a new world out there, and we can make the most of it and find the beauty in the position we find ourselves in.
Totally. And going into the emotional intelligence aspect of it, recognizing that our perspective really is a decision. When you talk about the doom and gloom, it's so easy to fall into that depressive outlook. Every time you turn on the TV, if you log into social media, hell, if you pick up the phone to connect with a loved one, since we have all this time, the first thing that comes up is about COVID. And when you hear the fear in your loved one's voice, when you're seeing the statistics of how many people are being affected by this, it's so easy to fall into that fear, that depression. And then you throw in the added element of how many people are without work now, and how is this going to impact us, not just in the next couple of weeks, but the next several months and beyond. Gosh, that's so overwhelming and a really easy way to fall into fear. And that's a choice. And we can make a decision to look at things differently and see this as an opportunity. I know that we've talked about this being kind of a global reset. And
yes,
that's absolutely so true. This is so cleansing. What a beautiful time for us to do some reflection about ourselves as human beings, about the lives that we're living, and take this time to really strategize and decide, am I going in the direction that I want? Am I achieving the things that I want to in my life? What kind of life have I been creating? Is it serving me? And how can I make adjustments so that going forward, I feel more fulfilled? What a beautiful, empowering opportunity. And so much more productive, I think, at a time like this than the fear and the fear mongering.
Truly, that was nicely stated. I think that everybody now has an opportunity because the deck has been shuffled and it has become the great equalizer, really. People are forced to look at a new profession or move into a new occupation. People are forced to try and do new things that they haven't done before. And most importantly, from a growth aspect, they're forced to get out of their comfort zone. And whether we like it or not, typically getting out of your comfort zone and being forced to learn or do new things is a positive thing. It's healthy for your personal development, for all of our personal development, to
so
do
much.
These new things.
Absolutely.
So, that being said, I think that the best place for us to start is to understand some of the psychological effects that are happening right now so that we can talk about those a little bit and talk about processing those in the most healthy way we possibly can. And just moving forward and trying to stay productive and keep ourselves out of that state of depression or the state of lethargy to where we find ourselves just with a giant bag of fuck it saying, you know what, why even bother, right?
Right.
So I think the biggest psychological aspect that we're all dealing with is the uncertainty. And we're going to have to process that, whether it be with our relationship or with the world, in a positive way and understand that nobody knows how this is going to turn out. Right. And if we use emotional intelligence and we tell ourselves the right story, then we have a phenomenon that will engage called confirmation bias. And if we say, okay, I'm not sure, I'm uncertain. What happens when we're uncertain is that the mystery of the unknown brings us all kinds of activators and things that drum up our fear. And when we don't know what's happening, it's easy for us to engage that fear and go to a negative place. And I would caution everybody to tell yourselves as positive stories as possible. We are strong. We, as a society, as a species, we are strong and we will overcome this. We will come out the other side. And really, it could be a lot of finding beauty and personal development and a lot of great things that we shift our perspective and find. And then that confirmation bias will kick in. Once we form a belief, the confirmation bias will kick in and we'll start to see those things everywhere.
Absolutely.
For example, with confirmation bias, when this first happened, and you and I talked about this before, we were the COVID hit and it became a pandemic and they decided that now we're going to self-isolate. And then everybody bought all the toilet paper and the shelves were emptying and people were panic buying. And I immediately told myself the story of, oh my God, this is the apocalypse. And strangely enough, the weather seemed to cooperate with that belief system. And we had torrential rains here in Las Vegas. And it added to just this sense of literal gloom and pending doom. And the rains were coming and the thunder was booming and the shells were being depleted and it felt like everything was going crazy. And I had to stop and shift and ask myself, what story am I telling myself about all of this? Am I going to get sucked into the panic or is there a better way? And as I did, that's when I talked with Joanne quite a bit, and she's this great voice of reason. She's very emotionally mature and emotionally intelligent, super strong. And we started talking about how this is actually a kind of a positive, necessary thing for society right now, because we were due for a shuffle. This gives everybody an opportunity to try and do new things and be exposed to things they never would have before. And that gives us the opportunity as well. And so we started looking for the beauty and the kindness, and we started seeing that everywhere. And so that's really been the new identifier for this particular situation for us.
Absolutely. I was kind of late to the fear party. I sat in denial, even though I'd been hearing rumblings about this virus for a couple of months now. It really wasn't until a couple weeks ago that I started taking it seriously, seeing the shelves getting emptied. I have a business where I'm working with tourists directly, and I'm seeing not only the numbers in tourists dropping, but even in the way that they're interacting with me is changing. And that really was alarming. And so when I did start kind of buying into the paranoia and the fear, that's all I could see everywhere. It was, oh my God, the world's gonna end. So I have a chronic illness. I have a roommate who's severely immunocompromised. I'm out there just trying to find one bottle of Clorox, one bottle of Lysol, to help sanitize the house to protect us and especially my roommate. I'm not finding it anywhere. And it really wasn't until I started reaching out and asking for help that I started seeing humanity again and my perception started changing. I was in a Target half an hour away. That's how far I was looking for Lysol. And struck up a conversation with a random stranger about it. We're just in shock about what's going on. And when I told him, I cannot find even a can of Lysol for my roommate, he's like, you know what, darling? I have two at home. I'm going to give one of them to you. And he's like, this is how we survive situations like this, is when we as a community come together and support each other. And it was what a beautiful experience to have a complete stranger within just 30 seconds going, you know what? You have a need that is greater than mine. Let me share with you. Wow. Like that right there shifted so much for me and really pushed me to see the beauty in this madness. And it's like you say, when we're due for a shuffling, how many people have been really just living life on autopilot? It's like they're awake, but they're really asleep, and
so true.
Apathetic. They're unhappy with their careers, with their hobbies, with their living situations, whatever. And this now forces us to sit still and reprioritize some things. And that's amazing. And I feel the fear and the pain and the stress when people are talking about, like, wow, I'm without a job. I'm one of those people. I'm now without a job. So I can empathize and relate. However, if you weren't happy with your job, this is a great opportunity to shift into something else. Maybe doing some research about something that might be more fulfilling for you. Maybe you can go back to school, learn a new skill. How many colleges are doing online classes now, online only? Pretty much all of them.
Well, and I think it's an opportunity for people to welcome the change. I think it's an opportunity for us to do those things that we wouldn't normally have chosen to do. Maybe people end up in a different occupation or a different profession than they had before because it's going to be the only thing that's available. And maybe it turns out to be a better situation in the long run or even the short term than they were in before.
Sure. But it's scary in the moment because if left to our own devices, we're a lot less likely to make that leap, take that risk. Now we're being forced to. Life is pushing us into the deep end of the pool and saying sink or swim. Well, now we get to learn how to swim, and that's a beautiful opportunity, really.
And And we can either resist it, right? And we know what happens when we resist it, right? That which we resist persists. And then the pain and the fear and the anxiety and the stress will build and build and build. And we'll have to process all of that along with the challenges of trying something new and growing and learning. So the best thing we can do is understand there are going to be challenges and approach these challenges in as big of a way as possible. And yeah, there's going to be moments where we each break down in our own way. And that's where it's going to be really key if we have a partner or we're in a relationship for that person to be there for us and for us to be there for them and support them in the best way possible. Okay, so that being said, we know that there's uncertainty, okay? We know that there's going to be bits of depression. We know that there's going to be stress and anxiety. And the best thing that we can do to navigate through all of these challenges are to regulate the stories that we tell ourselves about any particular moment and understand that everything is going to work out. No matter what, things are the way they are. So we can accept them and work in from moment to moment and get through these and make the most and really try and find the beauty in the journey. Or we can just get hung up on the destination or the lack of being at that destination. And then the whole journey is just horrible and uncomfortable and madness. So I'm not sure why that keeps doing that, but
no
all right.
Worries. I would invite anyone who is dwelling on the past, wanting to go back to their job and life as they knew it before this happened, and then staring at their futures with anxiety going, what's going to be different? What can I do? La, la, la. I would just invite you to try sitting still. And just enjoying where you're at in this moment. When you touch on like depression, lethargy is a huge, huge part of that. And it's really easy for us to fall into that slump of just wanting to stay in bed all day and feel sad. And that's okay. That's perfectly normal and acceptable reaction when your world has kind of been turned on itself. So if you're listening to this from the comfort of your bed and you haven't gotten up all day, rock on, do that.
Yeah.
But
sometimes it is. It is okay. However you're feeling,
sure,
is okay to be feeling that. It's okay to find yourself there. Just be cautious of how much time you decide to spend there.
Let's not stay there. Let's not roll over and play dead. Except where you're at emotionally in this, because it's scary. And yeah, it's a lot of change. And you're probably exhausted. I know I found myself bedbound for the first few days because I've been working and working and working and working, going, gosh, I really just wish I had some time to rest. And then when I have some off time, I'm like, how can I fill that time with a million other things that I've been putting off? And now none of those things can get accomplished right now. So yeah, I stayed in bed for a few days, but we don't have to stay there. We don't have to use this time just sleeping away. Rest.
Sure.
And then let's go from there. This is
a
beautiful opportunity. If you're holed up with your beloved right now, there's so much more you can do beyond practicing making babies, which is great, by the way.
Absolutely. So that's a perfect segue into being in close quarters. What happens with relationships is funny because a lot of couples are now forced to be spending so much time together under extreme circumstances in tight situations. I mean, some people have great big houses, which is fantastic, but the average individual is, you know, in a relatively small place, two bedrooms, one bedroom maybe, and they have to make the most of their time together. And what's happening, I remember I traveled for a long time. I was a corporate trainer for a number of years, and I would travel 3 weeks and then I'd be home for a week, and I'd travel 3 weeks and be home for a week. And toward the end of my marriage, we were married for a long time, 26 years, and I would say the last 3 to 5 years became very strenuous for a number of reasons. We'll go into that in another episode. But as it got toward the end, I had stopped traveling. I'd opened my own business and wasn't traveling as much. And it would be so tense spending this time, all this time that we hadn't spent together, really getting to know each other. Because everybody's great when everything's great. But when you're spending a number of hours side by side trying to figure things out, you really get to know somebody. And there was a point at which my ex, she kind of just snapped, because she was looking at me with disdain, and I asked her about it, and we kind of went back and forth a little bit, and I was kind of chasing ghosts a little because there was a lot of BS involved, but she finally just stopped and said, "I just wish you were traveling again. I just need you to leave."
That's unexpected.
And I went, "Whoa, what?" And of course, I internalized that like crazy, but it's interesting how that happens. And I think there's going to be a lot of couples who have to navigate through some of these challenges.
Sure, especially when your routine is being disrupted, which is ultimately what it sounds like your ex-wife was frustrated about, is now yeah. Her routine is consistently disrupted, and this person who you're at one point so in love with, when you're a little bit irritated with them, everything that they do just bugs you.
It can. And I think that's one of the great points. So I think there's a few prerequisite underlying ground rules if you're going to be spending close quarters with anyone. And number one is, I would suggest that if you haven't already, that you open up a clear, honest and forthcoming line of communication to where you have a set of ground rules together, and you say, okay, during these times, what I'd like to be able to do is have a free flow of conversation, free flow of communication, and be able to talk to each other about anything, things that are bothering us, including each other. And then I think the emotional intelligence is where we navigate through the stories that we tell ourselves and tell ourselves positive stories so that we're not internalizing everything. There's going to be a time where our partner, it isn't us that's bothering them, but something is, right? The circumstances are something else. And I think that it's very important for us to be able to ask our partner, hey, is there something I did? Are you okay? Is there something I need to address? Because it doesn't always come up. Sometimes we have something that bothers us about our partner and we don't know how to bring it up, or we're waiting for the right moment. And if that's the case, that would be the right moment. If they ask us, we should be able to tell them if there's something that's on our mind regarding that partner. Completely. We should be able to tell them without being punished, right?
You should. This is definitely not a time to, when your partner says, "Honey, is something wrong?" to just go, "Nothing. Everything's fine." And then continue being passive aggressive and whatever else we like to do sometimes.
Horribly unattractive.
So unattractive. So when your partner is asking you, "Honey, have I done something wrong?" you get to say yes, as clearly, compassionately as possible. If you're the person who's upset, maybe take into consideration that what you're upset about really isn't the issue. It could just be that you're stressed out, you're tired, you're overwhelmed, whatever. If you're the one who, you know, your partner is saying, "I'm upset about this," and you have the opportunity to correct it, just correct it. We don't have to argue over it right now. We're all a little extra sensitive in
these
times.
A great point. So I think that it, and by the way, if they ask, and if you ask and your partner says it's not you, trust that. Take it at face value. Don't push and poke and prod. Is it me? Is it me? Is it me? Give them maybe a little space. Ask if there's a way you can support them or if there's anything that you can do to help. And if they say no, take it at face value. But if they say that there is something that needs to be addressed, or if you're the person who wants that subject to be addressed and you're asked, the best thing we can do is utilize the golden rule. Treat them the way you would want to be treated. Have some empathy. Understand that they're going through stress as well. Whether one of you seems to be handling it better or not, we're all under the same amount of stress and we're all undergoing these same challenges. And so the better we can understand or seek to understand our partner, the more chance we have of being understood ourselves. So kindness is key and the delivery is key and doing our best to say, hey, there is this thing that I've been needing to talk to you about and finding a way to address that. That takes us into a great subject too, which is there's going to be little quirks that your partner has, the little things that they do that we could in our minds decide that that bothers us. And what I would say is when those things pop up, when you see your partner doing this thing or they're doing this one thing that seems to grind your gears a little bit, ask yourself.
You chew your food is right? Driving me insane.
Yes, the way you do everything, the way you're breathing through your nose like that.
Oh, my God. So rude.
So when that little voice in your head goes, they're doing it again. Ask yourself, why does that bother me? Why is that a problem? Why is that an issue? Because maybe that same thing in the beginning of your relationship was a non-issue. Maybe there's 9 million reasons to love this person, and there's one silly reason that you've decided that this one thing they do bothers you.
Maybe the only reason why you've made that decision that it bothers you is because you're bored and you need something to do.
Yeah. And you have underlying challenges and other stresses coming from other areas, and it amplifies these things. But if you decide this is one of the endearing qualities that they have, this is what makes them adorable. This is what makes them cute. I love that little farty sound that comes from my girl.
I love that when you fart, it sounds like a tuba is going off.
It sounds
so
like
cute.
A balloon animal asking a question, and I love it. I love that. But whatever it is, right? We can say, hey, this is one of those endearing things that, it could probably drive somebody crazy, but not me, because I love them and I take them for everything they are. Good, bad, everything. I accepted this person unconditionally. So I think that's a real big deal, because that, I think, is going to come up a lot. And I think that is the root of a lot of discord in relationships, especially under these conditions.
Sure. Having patience for one another, even if the way that they chew their food just grinds your gears and you can't shift out of that, just having some patience for your other person of the multitude of other challenges and stressors that they are dealing with. My kids have a lot to say about this topic.
Yeah, so. They brought up a good point is sometimes we tend to bark at each other for silly little things rather than, I understand. Sometimes we tend to bark and get upset and it seems like somebody's coming at us for no reason. And it doesn't need to happen. I think the perspective can shift. I think also if there is something that you've attempted to shift your perspective and you've attempted to, you know, run through all the things and say, okay, nobody's perfect. And I bet I have all kinds of different things that could annoy somebody else and they don't get brought up. If we have a hard time doing that, we need to address it. Don't let it build Address it. Communicate.
But also, let's pick our battles. We don't have to. Yeah. We don't have to bark at every car that passes by.
That's exactly it. It's exactly it. Take a breath. Move forward. Remember all the things you love about that person. That's a great exercise. Is go through and list three things that you love the most about that person. And what happens is it makes those small, petty things seem so small and petty and insignificant. So I think that's a really big deal.
I would like to also add, for every complaint that you might have with your partner, try swapping it with a compliment instead and see your appreciation for your person just blossom. And it really puts into perspective the minor irritations that they are just that.
Absolutely. I think this really gives us an opportunity with this expanded time that we're spending together to try new things. Remember the key, I always go back to the key to improv. And the key to improv, I know it sounds goofy, but it's really a metaphor for life. And the key to improv is yes and which means that somebody pops a scenario out and they say, okay, I was the clerk at a, I'm, you know, this clerk at a market, and you go, yes, and I'm the customer, and you kind of move forward from that. So I think that's the key to these close quarter relationships under these circumstances, and really any, is be an invitation to yes. Be willing to try something. Be willing to go outside your comfort zone and look at it as a growth journey. Look at it as a way to strengthen and enhance the relationship, and look for those opportunities. Play new games together, watch new movies together, do new things together. If your man wants to play video games but you're not really into it, play video games with your man. If your woman wants to, I don't know, what do women like to do, Danny?
I don't know. What do I like to do? Let's say cooking, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you said that and not me, because then I sound misogynistic.
Here's the thing. I have a list literally a mile long of things that couples can do together. But it boils down to, I think the point that you're making is being willing and open to trying the new things. What a great way of making use of this time of uncertainty and confusion than by trying new things and discovering new things about ourselves. Maybe, you know, masterclass is a new thing that's really been blowing up, where masters in any given field do a class and you can purchase it.
Yeah.
Watch some masterclasses together. If you can't afford masterclass, hop on YouTube. Do a cook-off where it's a meal neither of you have ever made before. Watch, go find your own recipes and then do a cook-off and see who did it better.
Work out together. Take this time to develop some workouts at home. Do a yoga class. There's a lot of yoga teachers right now are going online and doing live or pre-recorded classes. And there's a number of those that you could take martial arts together. I mean, there's something that you grow and enhance with one another. And then I think this is a great time to practice afternoon delight and see what's going on. If you don't have the added obstruction or challenge or enhancement of children or others in the household, and it's just you and your partner, man, get freaky deaky. Don't be afraid.
Everywhere. In front of the windows. Who cares? Yeah. The neighbors are, who cares if they're taking a walk?
That seems to be a phenomenon. The internet right now is inundated with voyeur video of people just having sex everywhere. So
go get yourself internet famous. Okay.
it's a beautiful thing. So I think that you know, the key is being open, the key is being kind. Be able to communicate with your partner, right? And understand that with these close quarters, there's going to be time where you're going to need some alone time. And so The best thing you can do is try and structure your days as much as possible. Try and get into a routine that's going to keep you out of lethargy, that's going to keep you doing, have a little set time to do activities, whatever they are, and then be open to having alone time. And if your partner says they need some alone time, the best thing that you can do is not tell yourself some sort of internalized story about your wearing on their nerves or your, that's your fear talking, that's insecurity. Insecurity's not sexy. If they need to be alone, they need to be alone. And by the same token, if you'd like to be alone, I think that you should be able to communicate that with your partner. And that's why it's important to have those open lines of communication right from the beginning.
Sure. Even if it comes down to incorporating that into your daily routine together, scheduling it, okay, from the hours of 2 to 4 p.m. every day, we're going to have some personal space. And if you need to take more for yourself, right on. But having, just being conscious, just being mindful that your partner may not deal with stress in the same way that you do. You might deal with stress by wanting to talk and be super attached to your partner all the time. Your partner might shut down. And so we get to respect that in our partner, hold space for them anyway. And if your partner is wanting to pull back a little bit and you want to lean in, that's a great time to start picking up the phone and connecting with other friends and family and having them fulfill that. Allow Truly. Your partner that safety in their home of being able to have some space. There's nothing wrong with that. It's perfectly healthy.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. One of the things that you can do in the way of getting to become closer with your partner, becoming closer with your partner, is there's these 36 questions, and they were specifically designed scientifically to make people fall in love or lead to love. They're the 36 questions that lead to love. I MC a Connect for Love. It's an enhanced speed dating event, and we've had these throughout Las Vegas, and we did one at Burning Man, and we do kind of this speed dating thing. It's a little deeper than that, but this little speed dating thing, and then couples pair off into this connection lounge, and they go over these 36 questions, and it is amazing at how well these questions help you to connect. And so if you are stuck with your loved one, spouse, partner, whoever that is to you, and you want something or you're looking for something that'll help guide you through and enhance and facilitate you getting closer, I strongly recommend these 36 questions. Matter of fact, what I'm doing is I'm loading those on the website. So you can go to makinglovethepodcast.net and you should be able to download the 36 questions. So look for the PDF download button on the homepage right at the bottom. And you can go over these 36 questions with your partner and look them in the eye and really take this opportunity to get to know them and be open to having this be enhanced and something special.
That's so beautiful. What a fantastic way to come together and get to know your partner and yourself. Sometimes we learn things about ourselves when the right question is asked. And so in this time of us going within with our partner, I just love that. That sounds amazing. And that's something that you don't necessarily have to do in person. You can also do that if you're separated from your person right now.
That's a great point. And that's actually a perfect segue into our next topic, which is, what if your partner is socially distanced from you? What if they are in quarantine across town, or it doesn't make sense for us to meet up? What can you do to enhance that, keep the fires burning, keep it going strong? Because there's going to be some of the same anxieties, there's going to be some of the same issues and challenges that we run into in close quarters, but now you're separated and people are going to feel a little isolated and alone.
Totally. And it's going to be really easy to jump to conclusions, tell ourselves some warped stories. We'll think to ourselves, my person is socially distanced. They're on quarantine. They have nothing else to do. Why aren't they taking my phone call? Why haven't they texted me back yet? Why aren't they willing to FaceTime? They must be fill in the blank. What if they just don't want to talk on the phone and it has nothing to do with you? What if they're just depressed and they're sleeping?
What if they're pooping and they forgot to take their phone in there?
You just don't know. Maybe they don't. Really not a good time to FaceTime.
It could be anything, right?
So avoiding telling ourselves stories and jumping to conclusions because the person we're distanced from needs a little space on top of it.
Sure. And then I think that, you know, communication becomes key, right? Making sure that when we communicate that, or even communicate ahead of time, hey, there's going to be times during this where you're not going to be able to get a hold of me. If that's the case, I'll get you right back. And then the key is don't internalize that. If there's another story available to tell yourself, a positive story about why that's happening, do that. If you suspect there's an issue, ask if there's an issue and then expect an honest reply. And if they tell you something and you think it might be something else, leave it. Leave it. Tell yourself a different story. Look and see if the one is available, because otherwise what's happening is you end up pushing the issue and that makes you less attractive to that individual and just starts drama where there doesn't need to be any drama started.
Making a problem out of a situation where there was not a problem. How frustrating and added stressor at a time when we've got enough stress to deal with.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because the distance thing is an interesting thing. Like I said, I used to travel quite a bit and this, it's kind of the same scenario because you end up with distance, and it seems like the distance really makes those simplest things even sweeter. So the little things that you're able to do together, it makes it even nicer and even more delicious. There's a couple of caveats that I would say if you find yourself separated and you're typically together there's one that's counterintuitive to what you may actually think you'd want to do, and that's don't over communicate with each other if you're separated. That means you don't have to be on a constant FaceTime all day long. You don't have to have a constant back and forth and text and back and forth. Matter of fact, there needs to be a little bit of space. There should be a little bit of time in between to build that anticipation, because otherwise it really kind of comes off as desperate or clingy.
Absolutely. And I have actually several ideas for couples who are socially distanced right now. There's an app called Marco Polo that I love. I use it for coaching. I use it with a few of my friends. It's very similar to FaceTime, only they're recorded. It's just a snippet recorded. It can be a few seconds. It can be a few minutes. It can be whatever. And you can go back and forth in these conversations. And it would be really sweet if, let's say, you had like a little love note for your beloved and you read it to them on Marco Polo. And now they get this message that they can reflect back to as many times as they want. There's no expiration. And then if you wanted to send one in return, you can. It's super simple. And going back to the more simpler aspects of dating, of yes, having that separation so that you can have that build up.
The anticipation.
Is the best foreplay. And then in that space apart, writing them a little love letter or a little poem or something sweet, something that's innocent. Those little nuggets of love just blossom so much. And when you do get your hands on your partner again, it is that much more incredible.
Oh, that's so true. It's so funny because technology is so advanced right now, and there's so many different applications that couples can use, and so many different ways for us to connect with each other remotely. Hence what we're doing right now. I mean, we're at different ends of the valley, but we're able to connect, and albeit it's a little clunky at times, it's mm-hmm. still functional and it still works really well. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things, I mean, as simple as joining a virtual world together and going on adventures or singing karaoke together, right? Get an app where you can do karaoke and then have some sort of meeting app where you see each other doing it. Watching movies together, I think, would be a big thing, right?
You know what's been huge right now that is so fun? You can do this whether you're separated from your partner or in the same room. There's so many virtual zoos, not just virtue, but actual live streams from zoos and museums. So you can take tours and watch, you know, zoo animals and all kinds of fun live streams that you can watch together in real time, even when you're apart. And you can chat about it on the phone or through whatever communication media you want to use.
And it'll keep you connected. I think that's the thing, is don't overconnect, I would say. You know, don't be clingy. Don't, because what's happening, the reason I say that is because when there's that separation, if we're not cautious, especially during these challenging times, during these unsure, these times of anxiety, then what happens is those fears creep in different areas, and we start getting like FOMO. What are they doing? What am I missing? What's going on? And then before you know it, there's going to be some insecurity or some possessiveness. And when that possessiveness creeps in, it's hard to hide. I mean, we become clingy, and we become, what are you doing? Who's that? What's going on? And it's not attractive. It's, matter of fact, it's the least attractive. Jealousy is the least attractive trait that somebody can have. It comes with insecurity.
Well, and you figure if insecurity is unattractive on a normal day, it's that much more repelling when that's one of the few things your partner has to think about.
Absolutely. And they're going through something right now too, right? They're on the other end of this. And the last thing they need is the added drama and stress of somebody sweating them, probably over bullshit or over nothing. Here's the deal.
They took a nap.
Yeah. Here's the deal. If your partner is separated from you, or in general, if your partner decides they're going to cheat, they're going to cheat. And there's mm-hmm. nothing you can do about that. And being jealous or insecure isn't going to lessen the chance of that happening. It's going to increase the chance of that happening. So the best thing we can do is love our partners, trust our partners. Now, don't be oblivious. If there's some shenanigans going on, that's something different, but it'll present itself. All I'm saying is don't allow yourself to succumb to fear and anxiety and tell yourself different stories about situations, circumstances based on nothing.
Mm-hmm. They're probably filling up their time with something productive. And if you're concerned about that, that's a good sign. Maybe you should be filling your time with something productive as well.
Yeah, you do you, and then it'll sort itself out. And if you feel like they're not making themselves available to you, or you would like the situation to be different from a communication standpoint, or some sort of issue that you're having, the key there is communication. Mm-hmm. Be able to communicate that. Have that open and honest line of communication. Have that set out ahead of time so that you know that you can speak to one another open and honestly, because that's the key to everything.
Sure. And then just being aware of your conversations when you are together, you know, give each other your space and then come together mindful and respectful and with a purpose, like watching a movie together or watching, a live stream together.
Good old-fashioned sexting.
Oh, my gosh. Zoom striptease. If you don't have a Zoom account, get one and strip for each other. Fun.
Yes.
Times.
Be open, be fearless. This is a great time to conquer a lot of the fears that we have, because really, I mean, what do you have to lose? So I think that be open for new things, be willing to explore and put yourself out there, and don't be taken aback if your partner decides to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Be willing, be that invitation to yes, and jump into it with some enthusiasm, and get to know some of the things that they know, and get to like some of the things that they like. I mean, this is a way that where that stuff really comes out.
You get to know yourself on a deeper level. You get to learn your partner on a deeper level too.
Yeah.
And this is a time where, if used wisely, brings us so much closer, no matter how close or far we are apart physically.
Yeah. I think that a lot of the advice for people who are separated from their partner, and the people who are actually in close quarters with their partner, are the same. I mean, be open, be honest, be kind, tell yourselves the right stories or the best possible story available. Try not to succumb to fear and anxiety and depression, all of those things. But, you know, you may have to go about things in a little bit different way. I think the key is to utilize this time to try some new stuff. Sometimes maybe get back to basics, try some good old truth or dare. Whether mm-hmm. you're in close quarters or you're separated, you know, get on that Zoom line and do some truth or dare. You'd be
how
amazed
fun.
At how far that'll take you. It's
reading
a good time.
Reading to each other. Even reading
yes.
to each other is so intimate. Whether you're
God,
in the same
magic.
Room, if you can go into your backyard together and just sit under a tree and take turns reading to each other, or if you're on a Zoom date and you find something that's romantic and beautiful, read to each other. That's mm-hmm. so intimate and so sweet.
It's
and
beautiful.
Effortless. How easy is that?
Yeah, it's one of those things that seems like not much, but when you do it, it's magical. I'm fortunate mm-hmm. enough to have a wonderful, wonderful woman who reads to me periodically with this British accent. And we'll talk about some of the things she reads at another time.
That sounds so yummy and delicious.
It's amazing. So be open to these things. Be open to, you know, cooking meals together. You know, you cook one at your place, she cooks one at her place, and then you eat together, have dinner together. There's a lot of things that you can do if you're separated that you could also do while you're close, and they mean so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And you can choose to look at it to where you're actually at kind of an advantage to the people who are stuck with each other, with their partners, mm-hmm. because you're building that anticipation, and the events and experiences feel so much more enhanced because you're able to do them. But the key is doing them.
Mm-hmm. So lovely. So just a beautiful time to be very deliberate about our communication with each other, our interactions with each other, and getting creative, trying new things together. Even if you're typically in a long distance situation, you're probably more apt to get creative than others, but trying new things. They've got what? Online concerts. I think Garth Brooks just did one. So many musicians are doing online concerts. Make a meal together, separate, of course, and then watch the concert together. That's fun, it's creative, and it's making the most of the situation, right? You're taking lemons and you're making lemonade out of them.
Brilliant, brilliant. So on that note, hopefully we've given you some great things to think about, some things to do, some great ideas, and you can make the most out of these really, really bizarre times that we're going through, and come out the other side a stronger and better couple. Danny, is there anything you'd like to add?
Not too much. I will say that I've got a whole list of fun ideas for couples to do, both together or separated, and we will be putting that on our website as well. makinglovethepodcast.net. And yeah, just whatever you do in these times, just do it with love. Lead with love.
Be kind to each other. All right. That being said, I want to thank our producer, Johnny Reyes, for helping us get each episode out. He does a fantastic job. I want to thank all of our listeners. You guys are fantastic. It is a beautiful thing to look and see all the cities where everybody's listening from. If you like any part of what you hear, then make sure you subscribe to get future episodes. Make sure you share it with your friends or partner at the very least, and get us out there. I think the more people that talk about love and relationships and all this good stuff, I think the better off the world is. So communication's the key, folks.
Communication and patience. Lots and lots of patience.
Thank you for being so patient with me, Danny.
Thank you for being so patient with me, Ryan.
All right. Love.